It was the sound of a blind being pulled up, and it's on a kind of string with bubbles on it. So when you pull it up, it makes this like sound, and that I thought sounded like the sea, kind of pulling and whatever it is from the beach, and then the little bubbles on the cord of the blind kind of hit the windowsill and made this like tinkering sound. I don't know, it sounded slightly musical with the shushing of the blind, but I think I think it could be worked on. A lot of imagination involved as well.
Yeah, these kind of descriptions. I mean, if you really put your ear and your mind to it, you know, they can trigger a lot of images. If you just anything else was triggered by what we just heard or didn't hear or missed to hear.
It's almost like, I don't know, something, if you want to make like a kind of sound piece, it's almost like you need more silence around it because it's already interfered with so much by the sound of your own breath or the sound you scratch your head or, you know, it's so interrupted. So I think it was really hard to like kind of appreciate anything because it was just like, yeah, it's like it needs more like white space around it, like a complicated painting.
Yeah, I think that's a very crucial, interesting recognition, that silence is very important.
Silence can be quite loud, can't it? It can be like deafening.
When is that?
When silence is deafening. That depends on the space, I suppose. Like, bigger spaces have louder silence, I would say. Like,
when is sound deaf? When is silence deafening?
Like in 2 minute silence or something like that. When you're like, after 9/11 happened, like the first year anniversary of that, I remember like every shop was quiet for a minute, like 2 minutes worth. And there's something really bizarre about being in like Tesco's and nobody's moving.
It's been really noisy before. It's been really
silent. That hits home. That's a really bizarre feeling.
But it can also be really uncomfortable when you're having a conversation with someone and the conversation just dries up and you're just sat there looking at each other and being like, that's when that silence hurts. And it's really uncomfortable and you just want to say something and you're like, oh.
And becomes very loud as well, isn't
yeah.
it? Like you would hear the ticking of a clock or things like that.
Yeah, when you go to sleep and the clock's ticking, it's sort of like Chinese water torture, you know, a little drop of water in your head, and it gets harder and harder until it drives you completely insane.
Sometimes they torture you with white noise, don't they, apparently? They just put you in a small room and just play that kind of like crackle that you get when the TV's all fuzzy, and just that, apparently that noise constantly.
That's a funny loophole, isn't it?
What is with that kind of noise?
Like general white noise, the kind of like hum from electrics and things, but what I always think of when people talk about it is when like your TV isn't working and you've got that kind of fuzzy, grey, pixelated image and the noise that comes with that is kind of like a shh, but really,
But that's annoying.
Yeah, and apparently that's the noise that I think about when they say that they use white noise as torture. Because it irritates the hell out of me.
Well, it's radiation. From the Big Bang, it's white noise. You only turn your TV to sort of just...
Yeah.
That's actually radiation from the beginning of the universe.
What?
That's got to be bollocks.
So I can't get BBC Two. It's actually a Big Bang. That's
totally true.
Ambient radiation. Makes it sound sexy.
But actually, we set off from something like oppressive silence. No, that was the kind of thing we set off from, in conversation. So I guess like sometimes when you are on your own at home. It's just a little too quiet, no?
Yeah.
So think in your group actually you had a lot of interesting things to say about the process. You were talking about setting up an archive, and actually a little bit I think we talked with all of you about it. You just get ready what's in your hands now to play it, to throw it into the mix. But you did a little bit more. Do you want to say what you did?
What part exactly are you referring to? Is it
Just the kind of process you were thinking of going through. It was quite a complex
thing. Yeah, it's pretty much just like cataloguing and making a library of the objects, well, approaching all the objects in the room, and recording three different sounds, like dropping the objects, and you get the weight of the sound and the relationship of the objects to the acoustics of the room, like the echo and stuff like that. And then straighten the objects to get the texture of it, and then just hitting the object, which I suppose again, I don't know if you can kind of hear the density.
Fine audio description.
Yeah, and then also describing it. And yeah, just cataloging all the sounds and all kind of.
Did you get that one? Like really cataloging and archiving the sounds in the room. The sound of the room. And also including some technical and vocal descriptions as well. So it would be like quite a clinical process of taking everything apart into little bits and descriptions and numbers and measures. This is also like preparing some kind of keyboard in your hands that then you are going to play. It's while you are doing it, it might be, you know, boring, technical, and it's just numbers and little bits, but you are kind of, out of this archive, you could start to play. And that's quite a complex process of, but yeah. I guess
it's
within...
It's like sorting the room, basically, for ourselves.
With every, you know, with many works of art, you know, we kind of, it's that kind of process you go about, no? First you take something apart in order then to use all the little details to assemble them in a different way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's quite a...
Yeah, it was kind of approaching it in a clinical way and trying to be quite purist about it, but at the same time it's kind of doomed to failure. Yeah, it's trying to approach it in a kind of objective way. But then, because we're making sounds ourselves and the sound of the locker crashing is going to be the same sound as the locker crashing the next time. And so it's a sound that I'm recording of the locker crashing, but it's not the sound of the locker crashing, if you know what I mean.
It's quite subjective as well.
Yeah, it is a bit, it's kind of approaching it in a different way.
Yeah, we approach objectively.
Yeah, you were saying that perhaps everyone is hearing everything a little different because we are all resonating objects. So each of us hears things a little differently.